preparing for the storm, right? We've been in this for eight, nine weeks, whatever it's going to be. Guys, we're almost through Matthew 5. Yes. One more week. Next Sunday, we'll be through it in Jesus' name. So Matthew 5, 38 through 42 this morning. Sermon is called The Other Cheek. How many people want to leave already? I'm out. We'll be back at lunchtime, Pastor. See ya, bro. The Other Cheek. The Other Cheek. Matthew 5. Y'all there? 38. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. If whoever forces you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask again that you'd help us as we teach and dig into this. Help us something to click in our spirit, that we leave here different than we came in. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. So guys, let's. I know we got some new people here. What's really important, I've been sharing this the last couple of Sundays, what's really important about this sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, not this sermon, but the sermon that Jesus preached that we're teaching from, is that the promise at the end of this sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is that no matter what storm comes at you, your house will stand up. That sounds like a good promise to me. Can I get amen? Right? How many people want to build something and let it have it fall down? That's good, because we'd pray for you right now if you raise your hand. Right? Look, church, nobody builds something that thinks, man, I can't wait for this to fall apart. Right? But my goodness, we've got marriages falling apart. We got kids that are a mess. We got finances are a mess. We got people, careers are a mess. You know, and the Jesus, man, the Lord does not want anything in your life to fall apart. Not one thing. He says, look, if you build this thing right, when the storm hits, everybody say when. When, all the storm's going to do is show how good I built it. It's pretty solid, right? Let's look at this. If we're honest, let's be honest, I think some of us, secretly, we kind of like verse 38. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, we're like, man, sounds good. As long as we're the one that's returning it. Right? As long as, you know, if you took my eye, I'm going to take your eye. I'm good with that. Right? You know, some of you that a little bit gray hairs, there's a saying goes around, what sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. You guys ever hear that one? Right? Sauce for the, my dad used to say it all the time. Sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. Right? It's fair. And here's what Jesus is talking about. You think about this particular section of the law, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, it's fair. Right? Like you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back, and then we're good. You did something to me, I'm going to do the same thing back to you, and then we're even, right? It's fair. You know what word does not exist in the Bible? It's fair. Because you know, the truth is, church, if God was fair, none of us would make it. Jesus didn't come because God's fair. Jesus came because God loves us. That's powerful, right? So again, like you think about movies. Like I like watching movies, you know, and when there's when the bad guy does something bad, man, it's just like, you ever watch a movie where it's not a happy ending? I hate those, man. Yeah, this movie was awful. Like it's all over, and you're like, oh, yeah, but no, man, he can't get away with that. You get it. Right? There's got to be this like resolution to it, right? There's got to be some kind of, but he deserves that. See, this is what Jesus is going after. It's not about what you think someone deserves. Amen. Praise the Lord. We secretly or not so secretly at times, I think, church, long for like this cosmic balance, right? Like, you know, the cultural thing now is karma. You know, watch out for karma. Goes around, comes around. You know, some of that's true, right? Whatsoever man sows, that he will also reap. sow to the flesh, reap corruption, sow to the spirit, reap life and peace. Right? So there's some truth there. Whatever I'm doing, it's eventually going to come back around to me. Right? But that's a law in the kingdom of God. It's not some cosmic force. Got to get amen. That's the Lord organizing that particular law, right? So let's look at what Jesus says here, right, everybody. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Man. What's interesting here is, as I was studying this, I saw something I never knew. Maybe some of you have heard this before, but the Bible is written as, it's an Eastern book. Anybody ever hear that? Like, the Bible's not written in America, y'all. The Bible is written in the Middle East. And it was written, there's definitely some cultural things we need to grab to understand some of the things that Jesus teaches, right? That's why he uses so many farming metaphors, because it made sense to them. Right? We're like, but none of us are farmers anymore. We're like, why is he talking about farming all the time? Right? But to slap in the Middle Eastern culture, to slap someone in the face is the ultimate insult. It is the worst thing you could possibly do offensively, right? So is Jesus saying, if you're just going to talk about this for a minute, because we got problems in our country, man. Is Jesus saying, if you're in a physically abusive situation, you should just stay there and turn the other cheek? Everybody say it together with me. No. No. Anybody on Facebook and YouTube? No. My goodness, if somebody's hurting you, get out. Get out in Jesus' name. Get help and get out. That's not what he's talking about, y'all. He's talking about being offended. He's talking about being offended. Okay, in our culture, it'd be like spitting in somebody's face. Right? You didn't hurt me. Physically, right? I'm not in danger. You hurt my feelings. How many people wish it was physical? Right? He's talking about being offended. He's saying, if somebody offends you, turn the other cheek. It's crazy. Isn't this so crazy? He doesn't even say, just ignore it, don't worry about it. He goes, thank you, sir. May I have another? Come on, that felt so good. Give it to me again. Wow. Isn't that crazy? Do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. And what's crazy, my beloved, is I think Jesus is really telling us here that if we're really walking with him, we need to almost expect to be slapped in the face once in a while. Anybody doesn't know Jesus, want to get saved right now? I mean, doesn't that sound great? Sign me up. Right? I mean, we got this thing like, hey, get saved. Your life's going to be great. Eventually, yeah, it'll be really, really good when you go home to be with Jesus, but it might not be so great on the journey. Come on, church. Right? Turn the other cheek, right? We need to understand that if we're really walking with Jesus, there are evil people. That's what Jesus calls them right here. Do not resist an evil person. There are evil people out there who want nothing more than to insult us, mock us, and try to get us to come down to their level. Well, Pastor, you're saying you're better than them? No, not for a second. I'm saying that because of the grace of God in my life, I don't need to live there. I'm not better. I'm probably worse. Except for Jesus. Is that all right? What's his command, right? Don't resist this person. The Greek phrasing here, church, means, obviously doesn't mean, it means don't resist them. Don't oppose them is the Greek word. Don't, right? Somebody comes at you, you know, what's our natural tendency, man? Somebody insults us, we kind of, whoa, you know, something like the hair in the back of our neck stands up. We're like, you can't talk to me like that. Jesus is saying, don't do that. Isn't that crazy? man, it's the human tendency is I want to defend myself. No, I'm not really like that. You know, somebody says, well, I heard you're such and such and you're like this. No way, man, I'm not like that. He's saying don't even engage it. Let them talk. Let them say what they're going to say. I think that there's really two things that we've got to catch out of this in verse 39. First, church, you catch this, man. You like this. Jesus, and this is kind of a theme throughout this whole section of teaching, Jesus is contrasting what the law allows us to do against what grace empowers us to do. See, under the law, it's allowable, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's in the law, man. God said that through Moses. Right? It's allowable under God's initial instructions through the laws of Moses, which Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. Not a jot or tittle will pass until all is accomplished, right? We got to understand, just because we're in the new covenant doesn't mean the law of Moses is in the garbage. That's not true. We don't approach God through the law. We approach God through grace. We don't approach God through how good we are. We approach God through the blood of Jesus, right? But the righteousness of the law is not off the books, church, just because we know Jesus. Can I get amen? Right? It's. I am not going to go to hell because somebody hurts me and I make them make it right. I don't lose my salvation for that. Jesus is saying it's allowable. You can do that. But that's not my perfect will. Law allows it, but here's what grace should empower you to do. Right? We all talk about power in church. Oh, lay hands on sick people. Amen, let's do it. Demons, pow, cast demons out. Amen, let's do it. But where is the same power changing me here? Right? Changing how I think, changing how I want to respond and carry myself. Is that all right? See, the law in this particular sense, church, think about it. In this exact example from Jesus, will satisfy my desire for the wrong to be righted. Right? You wronged me. You hurt me. You took something from me. You destroyed something I own. My desire, let's face it. Like, if I borrow something from you and I broke it, I would fix it. Or I'd buy you a new one. Because that's the right thing to do. Is that right? But see, that's not what it's talking about. It's saying if you borrow something from me and you break it and you don't care. Right? It's what Jesus did. The law is saying, I feel like I have a right to make you fix what you broke or recompense me somehow. Am I making sense? I'm trying to really break this down good. That's why he goes on to say later that if someone sues you, right? This is what we sue everybody in America. Everybody's getting sued for everything. Remember that lady way back in the day got sued? She sued McDonald's for spilling coffee in her lap. Who on earth puts coffee in their lap? If I was a judge, I'd have been like, yo, put it in a cup holder next time. I mean, you won't spill it in your lap. Can I get amen? That lady won millions of dollars for spilling coffee on herself. What? Crazy. But if you think about it, you know Jesus in another spot, he talks about this. Paul talks about it as well. He says, look, if someone's wronged you, why are you going to drag them into court? Why are you going to insist on your own rights? Paul says, why not rather be wronged? He said, look, if you really know Jesus, take the wrong, take the pain, and stop trying to make someone else fix that you're upset, what you're upset about. How many people like this sermon so far? Yes. See, the law is about what will satisfy my desire, right? You wronged me, you're going to make it right. But grace is not about my desire for the wrong to be righted, but rather it helps me agree with God's desire for that person to see the kingdom of God. Let me explain it like this. So someone borrows something from me, someone hurts me, hurts my family, and rather than demanding that they make it right, I offer forgiveness. I say, man, it's fine, don't worry about it. And I really mean that. It's all good, man. No worries. People, especially don't know the Lord, they're like, what on earth, man? What? You're not mad about that at all? Not at all. No worries. It's crazy. People are like, what is wrong with you, man? I mean, I'll tell you what. Here's my big thing. For years, y'all, I would not let anybody borrow my car or my chainsaw. Yeah, you can have anything else. You borrow my kids. Not my kids. But you know what I mean. Like, I didn't let my wife drive my car. She's right there. She'll tell you. For years, I was like, she's like, can I take your car? No. Nope. Dude. And then the Holy Ghost got on me. He says, what is wrong with you, man? Come on. You still can't borrow my chainsaw. But I'll come cut your tree down. You're not borrowing my chainsaw. Every time somebody borrows my chainsaw, they break it every single time. The Lord's going to help me get over this. I'm preaching to myself. So number one, verse 39, he's telling us the contrast between what law allows versus what grace empowers. Right? The law, church, I can stand the law by myself. I don't need grace to stand under the law. I need grace to do what Jesus calls us to do. Right? Number two, what Jesus is saying to us, my beloved, I think, is don't allow other people's evil, pain, brokenness, insecurity, jealousy, envy, depression, or whatever else is going on in their world to negatively impact you. Right? We all know this saying goes around, hurt people, hurt people. Hurt people, hurt people. How many people ever hurt somebody? Come on, don't raise your hand, y'all. We're in church, right? You know why we hurt people? Because we're hurt. If you're healthy, you're not going to hurt folks. And if you do, it's completely unintentional, and you feel awful for doing it, right? My goodness, we got leaders in the church that are constantly hurting folks because they're broken standing up in the pulpit, right? If I can't let go of something, somebody slaps me in the cheek and I can't let go of it, it's not what's wrong with them. There's something wrong with me. I'm jacked up. Jesus knows us better than anyone, and since we're all called to be conformed to the image of his Son, to the likeness and exact representation of Jesus, then we need to allow, my beloved, the Holy Spirit to make us aware of other people's pain. See, we're all, I shouldn't say that. Lord, help me. I was going to say we're all aware of our own pain. Some people are not even aware of their own pain. Can I get amen? Step number one of realizing that someone else's pain is to deal with your own. Be real about where you're at and what's wrong with your life. I'm angry. I'm broken. I'm abandoned. I'm rejected. Whatever those issues are. And get in the face of God and say, you need to deliver me from this garbage. I'm tired of living here. I'm tired of being angry. I'm tired of feeling lonely. I'm tired of feeling all this stuff. I'm tired of this, God. I need you to heal me. Because, church, if I'm not healthy, I don't care how bad you hurt. Because I'm just consumed with my own junk. Can I get amen? I think everyone in here, we love helping folks, but my gosh, if we're broken, it diminishes significantly our ability to help other people. I remember we went to Africa. Me and Alex were in Africa years ago, and it was a long mission trip, and there was 2 days right in the middle where we just did nothing. We like went and we rode quads around in a wildlife refuge, but in Africa there's no fences. We like riding quads around. There's a rhino like 100 feet away, and the guy, he's like, let's go. We're like, what? He's like, that thing's gonna kill you, man. All right, it's not a zoo, right? But seriously, church, there's like rhinos and gazelles and all kinds of stuff. Like, there's nothing. You go inside this thing and it's open. It's crazy, but. We remember talking to Pastor Daryl down there, and we said, you know, why are we just chilling, man? We came here to work, you know, help folks. He said, if you've got nothing to give, how are you going to help them? If you're burned out, broken, how are you going to help them? Amen. We must allow the Spirit of God to work out our junk, our brokenness and envy and all that stuff, so that when we encounter the evil in someone else, we understand that they treat us the way they're treating us because how they feel about themselves, not how they feel about me. Can you grab that, church? When someone mistreats you, That's how they feel about themselves, not how they feel about you. Can I get amen? Doesn't mean it's any more pleasant, right? But I've realized, man, somebody comes at me ugly, it's like, that's how they feel. That's not how I feel, right? They're dealing with something. Is that all right? The Greek word that Jesus used for evil right here, right? Don't resist an evil person. The word can be translated as toilsome. In other words, evil can be displayed by the toil in someone's soul, right? He's not saying, it's funny because you remember last Sunday we talked about, yes be yes, no be no, right? Anything else is of evil, right? Same Greek word, toilsome, right? So if I'm constantly telling somebody yes and then bailing or saying no and then change my mind, Jesus says it's toilsome. It's unstable. You're unreliable, right? And then the very next thing he talks on is don't resist an evil person, a toilsome person, same Greek word. Right? So this is someone who's like, they're good and then they're not good and then they're here and then they're over here. He's like, man, don't worry about it. Don't fight them. Don't get involved with their stuff. But every time they come at you, just turn the other cheek. Man, it's all right. I know you're broken. I know you're jacked up. It's okay. I can handle it. Is this all right? Don't let other people's pain trigger your pain. That's grace. That's grace. Luke 23, give you some scripture to back this up, and we'll tie it together here in a few minutes. We're going to be out here early today in Jesus' name. Luke 23. We know this one, church world, but think about this. Jesus is being crucified right here. He is hanging on the cross. They are whipping him and beating him and mocking him. It's awful. And as he's dying, verse 34, Jesus was saying, Father, we all know this. Let's say it together. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Wow. You know what Paul tells us to do, church? Forgive one another just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. So if this is how Jesus forgives people that are literally murdering him, he says they don't know what they're doing. God, don't forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Imagine if that's how we handled it every time someone slapped us on the cheek. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Acts chapter 7, 59 and 60. We all know this one well, but this is Stephen, right? He's been chosen by the apostles to wait on tables, y'all, to wait on tables. There's Stephen's glorious ministry, waits on tables, right? And you know what his requirements to wait on tables was? Full of the Holy Ghost to wait on tables. We got folks preaching the gospel today and full of the Holy Ghost, man, let alone waiting on tables. Can I get amen? Stephen preaches one sermon and they kill him for it. But look what he says. He's literally dying right here. They went on, verse 59, they went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Wow. Having said this, he died. It doesn't say he died. It says he fell asleep. This dude is being stoned to death. They're throwing stones at this guy. He falls asleep. Taking a nap. That's all you got? Church, it says fell asleep. Like, you look at the Greek words, it doesn't say he died. He fell asleep. And he died, right? But you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, ah, I'm dying. He just like, just falls asleep. And he's in heaven with Jesus. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? But you know, as I was reading this passage yesterday, as I was finishing up my sermon notes, I was just like, my goodness gracious. That's the question, right? Do you think that the Lord wiped that sin off of the eternal books in heaven because Stephen asked him to do it? The answer is yes, and I can back it up in the Bible, because Jesus actually tells us that anyone's sins who you hold against them, those sins will stay, and anyone's sins who you forgive, those sins will be wiped away. Jesus says that. Wow. Could you imagine you can't forgive somebody and you're the one that keeps them out of heaven because you can't forgive them? I don't know. That's just what the Bible says, y'all. That's crazy. Right? So here's my challenge to all of us, man. I've not arrived here. But think about this. Imagine if every time someone acted in an evil manner towards us, right, toilsome, right, you can tell that they're just, there's something wrong, man. There's something churning. There's turmoil in their soul, right? Could you imagine every time they come at us, every time they slap us on the cheek, our heart response is, Father, forgive them. Don't count this sin against them. I release this to you, God, in Jesus' name. I release it to you. I'm not going to hold on to it. Right, imagine, church, if that was our heart posture. We did not give a second to self-pity, to anger, to fighting back, to defending ourselves. Our default response is mercy. I know some of you in here, man. Some of you should be preaching this sermon because you got it. Amen. I talked to some of you. I'm like, my goodness, I'd have killed somebody by now if I was going through what you're going through. Right? But you just keep taking it, and you're just like, man, your heart stays soft, and it's, wow, it's incredible. It's inspiring to me. If you think about this, church, Jesus looks at our evil, our toiling and storms and insults that we hurl at him and the things that we've done against the Lord, either in speech or conduct, and the Lord Jesus did not take personal offense to it, not for one second. So if Jesus is our example and never took personal offense at an assault against him, then should we not do the same? Right? Am I saying be a robot? Am I saying you can't ever cry? No, of course I'm not saying that. But the crying should be this fight to say, I am not hanging on to this garbage. Not going to do it. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to wrap up over here. This will be a few minutes. One of my favorite sections of Scripture. We're going to back up into verse 18. 1 Peter 2, 18. Say amen when you're there. Look at this, man. This is going to be so good. Servants. Everybody say servants. I'm going to modernize it just a little bit. Employees. We don't have servants in our culture anymore, do we? Employees, be submissive to your bosses. I'm not looking at anybody. With all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are, let's say it together, church, unreasonable. 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 The Greek word here, unreasonable, means twisted. Anybody got a boss that's unreasonable? Kill the Facebook feed for a second, all right? We don't want to get in trouble. Yeah, I'm the only face everybody can see, so. My boss is not unreasonable. He's solid. Amen. He's a good boss, right? But church, look what he says. Let's read this verse one more time. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, like anybody would do that, right? Hey, man, this guy's a great guy. We're good. But also to those who are unreasonable. Verse 19, for this, what's this? Submitting to masters or bosses or people in authority who are unreasonable, right? This finds favor. Favor, my beloved, is the supernatural power of God. Very similar word to grace in the Greek. It's a similar concept. Favor is when God says, man, you are doing so good. Here's some extra encouragement, right? This finds favor for the sake of conscience toward God. A person bears up under sorrows when suffering, everybody say unjustly. Unjustly. Look, you know what? Peter says this elsewhere. If you are doing what's wrong and get in trouble, you're getting what you deserve. Well, Pastor, that doesn't sound like the gospel. Well, that's because we're not preaching the gospel in most churches anymore. Can I get amen? God himself says, I just hit it during worship, right? At the end of worship, early in my sermon. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap destruction. Like, dude, my dad used to say, does it hurt when you do that? Well, then stop doing it. Right? Like, if you keep doing the same thing, getting the same results, and, dude, do something different. Can I get amen? Right? What credit, verse 20, I think here it is right here. It says it elsewhere, but what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? What are you saying? You're getting what you deserve. But, ever say but? If when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. This finds favor with God. Verse 21. Now here in my Bible, church, the translation I preach out of, verse 20 and 21, there's a subtitle in the middle that says, Christ is our example. Anybody else's Bible say that? Verse 21. For, everybody say for? You have been called for this purpose. What purpose? What on earth is Peter talking about? You have been called to suffer for doing what's right. We're having our second altar call. Anybody want to get saved now? You're called to suffer for doing what's right. Anybody want to sign up? No, nobody signed up for that. Come on, church. But look, this is part of the package. We can't be Christians and think this is never going to happen to us. Right? I'm doing everything right and things are still falling apart. He says, hang on, man, because you're getting some favor. That all right? You've been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Right? Verse 22 is like he did nothing wrong. Never sinned, never did one thing wrong. And yet while being reviled, he did not revile in return. The Greek word for revile, I've taught this before, church, but is anybody remember what the Greek word means? To verbally abuse. To revile someone in the Greek word means to verbally abuse. Not physical, not hitting you, verbally. Right? I'm insulting you. I'm belittling you. I'm offending you. The Bible says right here, here's Jesus, our example, to live this life that obtains favor from God. He says, when somebody is verbally attacking you, somebody's insulting you, somebody's lying about you, somebody's saying, they're lying on me, they done me wrong. You know, he's saying, dude, do not say anything back. Jesus said, what is a lamb before the shears is silent? Wow. While suffering, he uttered no threats. Here's the key, my beloved. But kept entrusting himself to him, capital H, the Father, who judges righteously. The reason, my beloved, that we struggle so hard with not defending ourselves, with not fighting back, is because we do not understand that God is keeping track of every wrong ever done to me. He's keeping track of every word anyone's ever said to me. He's keeping track of everyone that's ever offended me. And as I let go of that stuff, he says, I'm going to take care of it. Now, my beloved, you know what the Bible talks about? If you got somebody that wronged you, this prayer is not a good one. Oh, Lord, I'm asking for some fire out of heaven. Get on them. Let them get fired, Lord. Let them get arrested. Let them get pulled over. That is not the Holy Ghost. It's a ghost. It's just not the Holy One. You know, the Bible says, church, that when my enemy gets what's coming to them and I rejoice over it, the Lord will remove his discipline on that person. When someone has wronged me and I realize that God is dealing with them, you know what my response should be? I should be on my knees weeping and saying, oh God, have mercy on them. Don't hold this sin to their charge. I forgive them. Let it go, God. You know the only reward I want, church? When I stand before the Lord, I want to hear him say, well done. Well done. church well, that ain't about how big my church is. It's not about how many folks I jumped out of wheelchairs because I prayed for them. Well done. Do I look and talk and think and speak like Jesus? Am I like Jesus? When it's all said and done, does he look at me and say, man, I see my son. I see my son. Isn't that powerful? Verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. But think about this, church. What sins is he specific? I never saw this till yesterday morning. He bore our sins in his on his body on the cross. Right? I'm chopping this up. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. But you know what? Obviously, I think Peter's making a general statement there, but I think he's making a very specific one in context of his teaching right here. The sin is what? To revile and to threaten people when they're hurting me. Because that's his example. While Jesus was being reviled, he didn't revile. While he's suffering, uttered no threats. He took that sin, took it to the cross. It is literally sinful for me to lash out when someone's offending me. Verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that, everybody say so that, we might die to sin. What sin? Defending myself. You can't talk about that. You hit me, don't ever hit me again. Now. Go ahead. Felt kind of good, actually. Kind of needed that. I was feeling a little prideful today. I need to get knocked down a peg or two. Go ahead. Tell me you don't like my shirt again. Right? Come on, church. Right? Tell me you didn't like this. Tell me that. Wait, man, we get this stuff and we're like, oh, is this making sense? Let's drive this home. If anyone sues you, Jesus goes on to say, and wants your shirt, give them your cloak also. They don't ask you to go to a mile, right? Anyone forces you, he says, to go a mile, go two. Give to him who asks, and don't turn away from someone who wants to borrow from you. Now again, church, the promise in this sermon is this piece, these five verses here, are a stone in the foundation that will ensure that my house stands up when the storm hits. That's the promise, right? So now, how many times have we gone into a situation, like if you've gone by someone who's begging in the street, right, and they've got a sign, or you, I mean, there's people around here. Drive out of Walmart in Bristol, man. There's somebody that sits in front of Walmart almost every day with a sign of homeless, you know. Church, how many times that we know we got some money and the Holy Spirit gives us a little prick in our hearts and we're like, yeah, but he's just going to do blah, blah, blah. He's just going to waste it. He's just going to this. He's just going to that. Well, is that the Spirit of God or is that my flesh? What does Jesus say? Give to him who asks and do not turn away. Give. 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 And give again. Wow. Some of you are thinking, what about your chainsaw, Pastor? All right, I'm working on a chainsaw, all right? Come on. Give me a little grace, everybody. Can I get it, man? Isn't this hard? This is hard stuff, man. This is super duper hard. Here's what I'm taking away from this sermon, right? If we take, you know, verses 40, 41, 42, which is what I just went through. I think here's what Jesus is telling us. There's a lot of ways you could teach this, you could dig. I did a lot of digging. There's lots of angles on this. But I want to wrap up. Just challenge us like this. People are people. Can I get amen? I've been in ministry just a few years. I figured out, wow, people are just wonderful. Man, including the one I look at in the mirror every day. He's pretty great too, you know? Oh my goodness, my first couple years, I was like, what on earth did I sign up for, man? What is going on, right? People are people, man, and we're all crazy. My dad used to say, people are funnier than anybody. right? People are people. And guess what? Everybody, just put your hand on your heart. Come on, everybody do it. Say, I'm a people too. So every time you see another people that's driving you nuts, just remember you're one of them, right? Everybody drives you nuts, you drive them nuts too. So it's all even, man. We're eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. We're already doing it, all right? So listen to this, man. People are going to do what they're going to do. Jesus never wavered from his identity or his purpose because of people. Not one time. Not one time ever did Jesus waver from his mission, who he was, because of how people treated him. I know who I am. I know what I'm here for. Right? I'm going to stay on track. Church is hard. My goodness, is it hard. Because the devil's out there, and unfortunately, he uses people sometimes. But even when we catch on to here, we all know this verse, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Man, it's so easy to lash out at people. But then the Spirit of God says, that is not your enemy. That thing you can see, that's not your enemy, man. There's a spirit working behind that. Go after the spirit. See beyond what you can see. Is that all right? See, if we're called to be like Jesus, then we've got to allow the Spirit of God to have his way in our soul, to get us to a place where people have zero impact on our identity and our purpose. And church, I don't mean in an arrogant, prideful way, right? We are talking with some new friends on Sunday. It was like Friday, I guess it was, talking to some new friends that have been coming here. And I said, you know, it's crazy when people come in, they want to sit down and they'll say, Pastor, God told me, and then they go on to tell you what God told you. You know what? There's no conversation available right there. Because as soon as I say, well, anything other than what they said God told them, what they're suggesting is that I don't think that God told them that. Did that make sense? Look, the Lord speaks to everybody. I'm not saying God's not talking to you. But let's face it, the Bible also says we all prophesy in part. Prophets are subject to the prophets. Right? If you're really confident that God's talking to you, you got no problem submitting it to other people that you know hear the Lord and letting them say, all right, man, that's cool, but let's talk about this. What about the Word of God over here says this? Let's pepper this in. Let's adjust this a little bit, right? Here's what I say now. Here's what I feel the Lord's talking to me about. Here's what I feel that the Lord said to me, right? It leaves it open for discussion. Is that all right? Like, you see what I'm saying? There's a difference of how we approach this thing. So not this arrogant, God told me this and there's nothing you can say. Oh my goodness gracious, stop it. Dude, you're stuck. You're going to be stuck for a long time if that's your attitude, right? But when we know that God has called us to something, right? God called me to pastor this church, man. If I didn't know God called me, I'd have quit. Straight up, man, I'd have quit. I for sure. God said, I called you to do it, right? So I know that no matter what happens, no matter who says anything, no matter people come, people go, money comes, money goes, doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters because God called me to pastor this church. Right? God's got a call for each one of you. No matter what it is, it doesn't have to be in church. My goodness, we got to get over that. Callings are not all in church. Most of them probably aren't. Amen. I know what God's doing in my life, and I'm learning as I grow towards that identity and that goal that God's got me where I'm at. Is that all right? I stand up. Done right here. The strong person, my beloved, is not the one who can yell the loudest, puff their chest the farthest, and intimidate people into submission. Jesus says what? Someone hits you on the cheek? Turn the other cheek. That's strong. That is strong. Is that all right? Well, I'm sure we've all been around folks that are just loud and intimidating. Those people are showing you how weak they are, not how strong they are. Is that all right? The strong man or woman of God is the one who takes the devil's worst, who takes the worst that human nature can dish out. It does not allow the darkness to dim their light. Call me anything you want. I'm not going to fight back. But, back to what Peter said, I will trust God to fix anything that's going on, right? Doesn't mean it didn't hurt. Doesn't mean I, right? but I'm going to give it to God, saying, Lord, you are the one who judges righteously. You know exactly what's going on. You know them. You know me. You see it all. You see right to the depths of our souls, God. And you are going to make this right. I'm not holding on to it. I'm giving it to you. Right? I will not allow offense to poison my soul. Not going to do it. Amen. Father, we thank you right now for this time together this morning, Lord. A little bit different. Last several weeks have been louder and crazier, but Lord, that just felt more intimate this morning, just quiet, pondering. And Lord, I pray that this is a real subject, God. This is a real issue. And again, Lord, your promise is that this is one of the things that if we implement this into our lives, our houses will stand no matter what comes. And Father, that's my prayer for my life, for this church, for everyone in this church, every family, our new friends that are visiting today, God, everyone on Facebook and YouTube that's watching and going to watch this, Lord, that every single one of us, our houses will stand, our marriages will stand, our jobs will stand, our finances will stand, our health will stand, God. We will stand. We will stand. Father, we will stand not arrogantly, but as beacons of hope, beacons of joy, God, beacons of truth and righteousness, oh God, beacons of the kingdom of God. Man, look, you don't got to live like that anymore, bro. Come over here. I got something for you. So, Lord, we thank you this morning. And I pray today, Lord God, that you would grant us the grace, Lord, as we talk about suffering when we've done what's right. That finds favor. Help us to learn to suffer well, God. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. All right. Thank you, bro. Very nice.